Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll find out what's in store for Camp Ripley this year, and we'll meet the commander of the Minnesota National Guard's 148th Fighter Wing. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Did you know that the National Guard has a biathlon program? And not only is the national program competitive, we have some of the best athletes in the sport right here in Minnesota. The mission of the National Guard biathlon program is twofold. The program develops the highest levels of skiing and rifle marksmanship necessary to improve the combat ability of our individual soldiers. Additionally, the biathlon programs allow soldiers to represent the National Guard and the United States Armed Services in national and international competitions. As you may recall from the activities we do within our Norwegian exchange program, the Minnesota National Guard is quite fond of cross-country skiing. In fact, we have made substantial investment in the sport at Camp Ripley. Several years ago, a beautiful biathlon course was constructed. It has been consistently maintained and put to use by our state's athletes in biathlon competitions. You may guess that the biathlon program provides units with soldiers who are physically fit, world-class marksmen, and have the ability to train others in these critical combat skills. One of the important things we see out of this program and our participation in it is that this platform allows soldiers to display their dedication, talent, and achievements. The Minnesota National Guard is proud of our biathlon team and our biathlon course. We are committed to sustaining and optimizing this course at Camp Ripley and all of our facilities in the communities in which we serve.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the commander of Camp Ripley, Colonel Scott St. Salver. Colonel, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Pretty good, sir. Adjutant General says you've got a great biathlon course up there.
I'm glad he brought it up because, you know, in a couple weeks here, we're going to have the Chief of the National Guard Bureau Biathlon Championships at Camp Ripley. Starts on the 27th of February, and it goes for about a week. And there's practice and training for all of the world-class athletes that come to Camp Ripley. You probably don't know this, but, you know, our biathlon program, it rotates back and forth between Vermont, Camp Ethan Allen in Vermont, and Camp Ripley. And we're the only two certified sites to run that facility with that kind of ski course. So shooting, pursuit racing, all of the winter military activities and Olympic type activities, and two of our athletes right now just finished the world championships over in Europe.
Colonel, we've had you on the show quite a few times, and we've talked about 53,000 acres up there in Camp Ripley, and it's a great state asset, and we'll get to some of that in a little bit, but I didn't know you had a biathlon course up there, too.
Well, you know, I do get accused once in a while of us being the best-kept secret in Minnesota. We've actually got 25 kilometers of ski trail that we maintain in the winter, and it's been a challenge this winter because obviously we've been a little light on snow. But the snow we've had, we've been able to maintain the ski trails and get them going. We also have a downhill ski area for cross-country skiing because that's one of the most difficult tasks when you're cross-country skiing is actually negotiating hills. So we also maintain those as well. And they actually start in the Cantonment area, and there's about 10 kilometers of that, about 5 to 10 kilometers that is available for the public to come and ski. They come right down to our campground, and that's where they leave, and the trails leave from there. And then we also have the area downrange with the biathlon course, which is used by high schools. It's also used by our military skiers.
So, sir, you have some units that come up and train in the winter and use those courses?
We do. We do. Over the years, we've had a lot of different units come up, and it's, you know, some of them are very, very good and adapted to winter training, and we used to do a lot more winter training than we do have recently, but we're starting to get back into it. But what's really fun for me is over the years, I've watched a couple of units that aren't from the area come up to Camp Ripley in the winter and do some skiing. Specifically, the one I remember the most was the Virgin Islands. The Virgin Islands sent a company up, and they wanted to ski. And it was a beautiful, beautiful day. This was a few years ago, and probably 30 degrees, and they barely made it outside before they went back in.
Colonel, one of the things I've found interesting over the years interviewing you and talking about Camp Ripley is the fact that it is a state asset, and there are a lot of other state agencies that make good use of it, including Homeland Security, Emergency Management, the Highway Patrol, MnDOT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, absolutely, Tom. We finished up, again, another iteration of our snowplow training in September, and that's always a big event with MnDOT. And MnDOT is actually bringing all those drivers through and training them. They go through their truck rodeos and running those big wing plows and snow blades. from all the districts in Minnesota come in. And this year, we also had trucks from the city of Minneapolis.
And, sir, I understand that you've Homeland Security Emergency Management here in Minnesota just finished the building up there.
They did. And, you know, the HSCM is a great partner for us. I know I'm not supposed to use acronyms, but
sorry,
I think that's
sir.
One most Minnesotans know about in Homeland Security. But they have an Emergency Management Training Center there, as well as we just completed our Education Center, which has allowed us on those state agency sides to really get into more of the soft conferencing or conferencing and schoolroom classroom training. And being able for them to come in and do those tasks on Camp Ripley is a great value to the state of Minnesota and to those departments to be able to come together and exercise those plans before they really need to. So that's been a great addition to us. And I know the Homeland Security Department's got some exercises coming up this spring that will be great exercises for counties and municipal levels of government.
And Colonel, I know you had a busy year last year in 2015, but I think Homeland Security Emergency Management had a training exercise up there, and I think I read they even practiced on the railroad tracks and something about getting ready for cars that might burn.
Sure, yeah. You know, we had Vigilant Guard, obviously, the large guard exercise. It was all interagency operability with our National Guard and with all of our departments and all of our Air Guardsmen and Army Guardsmen as well being involved. And that exercise actually was between Duluth and Little Falls and our area and the cities. So it was a really comprehensive exercise. And those opportunities to be able to exercise up there and to do those things like oil train derailment, that's a big deal. And in this legislative session, there's the Homeland Security Department of Public Safety has a piece of that bond in the state bond that would build a train a derailment facility at Camp Ripley to do that task for us up in that big downrange urban village we have.
We're speaking with Colonel Scott St. Sauver, camp commander from Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. And Colonel, one of the things that we keep hearing is by having an opportunity to bring all these agencies together and do some training, they not only get the training, but they get to meet each other so that if there is an emergency, everybody knows who to call and they know how to get it done.
I suggest to you that's the most important part. You know, I heard it a long time ago, actually, from a Norwegian Army general that when we were doing the Norwegian exchange part, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit, is he said it's better to know your friends before you get to the battlefield. Well, I suspect the same thing is true when we're talking about a bad day in Minnesota, a day that affects our citizenry, our property, and being able to interact with our local law enforcement, with our Homeland Security Emergency Management teams, with our Minnesota National Guardsmen, Air Army that are involved in that response, and all of the first responders, we win. And as the citizens of Minnesota, we deserve that.
And Colonel, as we've talked about on this show a number of times, the Minnesota National Guard has a dual purpose. You have your federal purpose if you're called up to active duty and deploy, and you have your state purpose if there's a mission that the governor can call up the Minnesota National Guard, and for floods and fires and emergencies, those type of things. So you really have the advantage of having a great facility to get everybody trained and ready for both the federal and state missions.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I tell state agency deputy commissioners and levels of their government that anything they can think of, they need to bring it forward because none of those are a bad idea. We just don't know what the next level of training we can do to protect our property and citizenry, whether it be on the state or federal side. So it's important to bring those forward so that we can train those. Fire is a perfect example. Our fire management training for both the DNR and our Minnesota National Guard rotary wing aviators is done at Camp Ripley every spring.
Colonel, I know that 2015 was one of the busiest years I can recall in Camp Ripley. What are you looking for this year, 2016?
Well, you know, I think we're not going to be as heavily busy. We had three exportable combat training center exercises, large military exercise this year. We're going to have a large rail movement that we'll talk about here in a little bit, I'm sure, and some training opportunities this year, both on the interagency side with the Norwegian Exchange, and I'm really looking forward to all of those exercises.
And Colonel, we've just got about a minute left, but can you tell me where do the troops come from that train on Camp Ripley? It's Minnesota, Iowa. Are there other states involved too?
Absolutely. You know, for the most part, we try to focus on the region around us: Wisconsin, Minnesota, North and South Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska, and that is our kind of our core group around there. And then primarily with our Minnesota National Guardsmen because we're such a large organization. And then we reach out to other states, and we get organizations all over the United States that come and train at Camp Ripley from all the states and territories over certain years. This year, I know we've got a couple units coming in. I think from Ohio, we'll have a few from out west. coming in for different pieces of training.
And you and all of your full-time employees there are there to support them and make sure they get all the resources they need to put in the best training exercise they can.
Yeah, right. My training support unit that supports the training center, their job is their go-to-war job is to provide the resources and make sure those commanders in those units, when they come to train, get every resource they need so that they can take every minute's advantage of the training time they get before they have to go do a real live mission.
Sounds pretty exciting, sir. When we come back, I want to talk about an exercise coming up at the National Training Center and how you're getting ready to support that. We're speaking to Colonel Scott St. Sauver, commander of Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking today with Colonel Scott St. Sauver, commander of Camp Ripley, a big 53,000-acre training facility in northern Minnesota, in case you haven't heard from it. And a lot of the lake people up there hear some of the noises in the summertime, sir, but you've gone out of your way to be a good neighbor and set up barriers and be very active with the community, haven't you?
Yeah, that's a main part of what I do. Honestly, my job is, you know, I've got a lot of great kids that work out on the ranges and take care of everything, but it's my job to really make sure the community understands what we're doing and when we're doing it. So I'm getting to the season right now where I'll go out and actually do up over 20 briefings on what kind of activities we'll have, when it's going to be loud, when they can expect us to have more than higher activities at Camp Ripley. And that's been a great benefit to us because it lets people know what's happening in their areas, because we do get extremely loud, as you well know, when we start shooting tanks and artillery and flying helicopters all night long. And so we understand the impact on the communities.
And I know you work hard on that buffer zone and try to do everything you can to be a great neighbor up there.
Yeah, and we're continuing to work on that. Last year, the legislature passed a Sentinel Landscape Bill that allows us to work with the Department of Agriculture and the Department of the Interior and our own state agencies, which we're building right now, to work with more of that ACUB-type buffering to allow us to do our military mission, which is obviously so critical for us to be able to train those soldiers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Colonel, I know that the Minnesota National Guard the last couple of years has been at the height on the Army side of training on a national basis. First Army was in to meet with you. There were some exercises last year, and there's another one coming up at the National Training Center. How are you going to be impacted by that or supporting it?
Well, I'll tell you, the way I'm going to be supporting it is I'll be supporting the last bit of live fire training that the units need to do prior to them leaving, which was a carry-on from last summer. And then I'll be supporting the Director of Logistics, Colonel Lowell Cruz and his team, and Colonel Bob Entrist, the 1st Brigade Combat Team Commander, as we load over 400 train cars out of Camp Ripley this spring and get them shipped out to the National Training Center so that that unit has all its equipment ready to roll when they fall into the National Training Center for their readiness exercise. So that is going to be a significant challenge, and I'll be talking a lot about that with the public, because if you're familiar with Camp Ripley, the 115 Highway Bridge is a single shared bridge with the railroad crossing, and that's the only railroad crossing that comes into Camp Ripley. So those trains coming in and out of that is a quite a large logistical undertaking, and it's the only single-lane bridge, you know, where it's a two-lane highway with a railroad track going down the center.
Is this going to be the biggest train that you've put together?
That I have in my tenure, yes. It's by far the largest group of continuous train rail operations that we've done at Camp Ripley. So it'll be quite an exercise for our logisticians and for all of our support personnel as well.
And this is a really big event for the 1st Brigade Combat Team, isn't it?
Well, it's a huge event. The Adjutant General mentioned it yesterday as the Super Bowl, and it really is for that unit. And Colonel Entrist and his team and all of his commanders and the soldiers that are involved in that exercise have been training very hard, I'm sure they'll be very successful. They're a great unit, and they're ready to go. Our part of that, my part and my counterpart, Colonel Lowell Cruz up at Camp Ripley, our job is to ensure that all that equipment gets there, gets out to them, and it gets on the rail, and we get it moved out there, and that any of the last-minute details that need to be done by that unit, that we're ready to do that, and we are prepared to do that.
Sounds like that's going to be pretty intense, sir.
It's intense for them. It's fun for us. I mean, it really is. You got to remember, I have the best job in the world. I get to watch all these things unfold around me and watch the great training that those soldiers get and that my young soldiers get that are in support, and they can be proud of being able to support those activities.
We're speaking with Colonel Scott St. Sauver, the commander of Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, every year you have what's called a Norwegian exchange, but it's usually in the wintertime. This year it's a summer exchange.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. This year it's going to be in June, and we're very excited to have a June exchange. What it allows us to do, and obviously the background, it'll be the 43rd continuous year, the longest continuous exchange in the Department of Defense. So that's just a tribute to the importance of not only the Minnesota National Guard and Norway training together, but also our cultural relationship between our state and the country of Norway. So going in the summer this year will allow us to open up all of our weapon systems, all of our interagency training opportunities in that summer environment as opposed to a winter environment. You know, Norway is pretty good at winter. They really are. They're way better than us.
So, Colonel, for our listeners that might not be aware, we send some soldiers to Norway, and they send some soldiers here, and we train there, and they train here, and it's been going on for a long time.
It sure has, 43 years. We'll send 100 of our soldiers, and this year, a predominance of our soldiers will actually be airmen. This is a heavy year for the Air Guard, and we'll send them over to Norway. We'll send them to Trondheim, Norway, to do their training, and then I'll take those 100 Norwegian soldiers, and this year we're going to We're going to create integrated squads between American soldiers and Norwegian soldiers, and then we're going to add our interagency partners, SWAT teams, local law enforcement, first responders, and we're going to do an emergency interagency exercise together with another nation. And so watching that unfold, Hennepin County is in. We've got St. Cloud SWAT and St. Cloud supporting us, Little Falls, local communities in the area supporting that event. So it should be an incredibly great training opportunity.
Wish our listeners could see you smile when you describe that, sir. That's going to be a fun event, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It'll be a fantastic event. And we always are pushing the envelope to try something new. And we believe so strongly in this interagency cooperation between civilian law enforcement and our relationships that it's really critical to continue that relationship like we were talking earlier, right? You want to know your friends before the event happens and how you interact and communicate together. Well, imagine communicating with a bunch of Norwegians that are speaking fairly broken English and then a bunch of central Minnesotans that are still learning English, like me.
And Colonel, I would assume that you've got some summer camps and some disabled hunts coming up this fall.
We do, yeah. We obviously, our hunting programs and our outdoor events are great. We got the youth camp coming up later in the summer. We'll start the spring off with our turkey hunts. Our disabled turkey hunts are coming up this spring. During the summer, early in June, we'll have our Trolling for the Troops event where we bring all the veterans and the soldiers in and take them fishing. And then this fall, of course, a full spread of deer hunting.
Colonel, I didn't ask you at the beginning of the show, but how long have you been in the military now?
This will be my 36th year.
And would you call them 36 pretty darn good years?
I'd call them 36 great years. I got into for that 6 years to get a little college money, and somehow I ended up staying a couple more. So what I tell kids now is the first 20 is easy.
Colonel, say this show is being heard now on 28 stations all over Minnesota. There's a lot of young people listening to us. If they were interested in a career in the Minnesota National Guard, what would you tell them, sir?
I would tell them that it's a great opportunity to get outside your comfort zone, to get out and work with a great team and become a part of a family that'll mean something to you the rest of your life. Because it truly is. After I leave the military, maybe the weekend drills won't be missed all that much, but I'll tell you what I will miss, and that's the family. The family that you create in the Guard and your brothers and sisters for life. All the services, all the people you meet, there's no other place that you can do that and still be a citizen soldier. And I believe it's so important for us to recognize and understand how important it is to be a citizen soldier.
And Colonel, apparently your children are watching because several of them have joined the military too.
All four of them served, two still serve, and we're very, very proud of them. One is currently deployed in Kuwait, and I wish him all the best.
Colonel, it's always enlightening when you come to the show. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Colonel Scott St. Sauber, the commander of Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll meet the commander of the Minnesota National Guard's 148th Fighter Wing. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is the Mayo Clinic, the first healthcare organization to receive the designation. Among its initiatives, they have created a veterans toolbox, an online collection of resources for employees, supervisors, and family members. They have trained recruiters on the benefits of hiring veterans, on matching military job experience with Mayo Clinic positions, and on understanding the military experience. Mayo Clinic also conducts a final military salute to military hospice patients. This final salute is performed upon request by active troops who are Mayo Clinic employees and honors veterans in their final hours. Mayo Clinic has been a Yellow Ribbon company since June of 2015 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to meet the commander of the Minnesota National Guard's 148th Fighter Wing. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
President's Day, also known as Washington's Birthday, is a United States federal holiday that is celebrated each year. We celebrate in honor of President George Washington, our country's first president. Washington was also Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War. General George Washington was a compassionate military leader whose courage and determination inspired his troops. His refusal to give up or quit made the difference between victory and defeat on more than one occasion. General Washington was devoted to the well-being of his troops. As with Memorial Day and Veterans Day, President's Day allows us another opportunity to honor our country's veterans. On President's Day, we pay tribute to the brave and audacious Commander-in-Chief, George Washington, and celebrate all U.S. presidents, past and present.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the commander of the 148th Fighter Wing, Minnesota Air National Guard from Duluth, Minnesota, Colonel John Safstrom. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Colonel, I want to start off with a little bit of information about your career. I understand you started out in the Navy.
I sure did. I don't like to say that too much around my Air Force friends anymore, but I sure did. I grew up in Duluth and actually went away to college and joined the Navy through Navy ROTC as a good way to pay for school. And that's what I started doing, was flying in the Navy.
And I understand you flew from the USS Kitty Hawk, an aircraft carrier. And so you're a Navy pilot with a lot of takeoffs and landings on carriers.
It is. It seems like a distant past of my life, but I sure did. I started off the first 10 years in the United States Navy. I was based on the West Coast of the United States, so a lot of deployments to the Pacific region. And I sure did. Flew off the USS Kitty Hawk. I think there was a connection between us there with one of your kids, but it's amazing how that works.
Yes, sir. My son was in the Navy, and the boilers made on the Kitty Hawk back about the same time you were making your first takeoff, I think.
Unbelievable.
It's got to be a lot different to take off and land on the deck of a moving ship than it is to land on a nice airport like you have up in Duluth.
it surely is, and I spent a great 10 years of my life, 11 years doing that, but it was time to come back to Minnesota, and I sure appreciate what we have now in Duluth.
Now, Colonel, I understand you're a native of Duluth.
That's correct. Grew up in Duluth, like I said, until went through high school there, graduated high school, and went off to college through the ROTC and right into the Navy.
In 1998, I understand one day you were in the Navy and the next day you were in the Minnesota Air National Guard.
Well, that's the way it works. It's a wonderful Guard story because the ability to transfer your active duty experience back into the National Guard is one that many of our members do. So I was fortunate enough to have a spot up there. I came back to the unit and asked if I could join, and they were looking for pilots at the time, so the timing was perfect for me.
And Colonel, can you tell us a little bit about the 148th Fighter Wing? What's the mission, and what are your aircraft?
Sure. Our mission, like all National Guard units, are a dual role. We serve both a federal mission when the president calls on us, and we day-to-day serve through the state of Minnesota through the governor, a mission for our state mission. So we constantly train up in Duluth. We fly the F-16 Fighting Falcon. We fly one of the newest models of the F-16. It's the Block 50. So it has the most capability of any F-16 that's been produced. We do the suppression of enemy air defenses. So it's called the Wild Weasel Mission. We go in and take out the air defenses of our enemies, I guess, if need be. And that's quite a mission. It requires quite a bit of training. So we're constantly training to that federal mission to be ready to do that. But we certainly have a state mission that we're training to all the time.
Colonel, what would be an example of a state mission that you might perform with your F-16s?
Well, we might not use our F-16s in a state mission, but we certainly can use our manpower, our personnel. We have 1,000 men and women up at the 148th Fighter Wing. About 400 of them are full-time forces, and we have a full contingent of different specialties. So we have a civil engineering squadron, firefighters, a medical group, logistics group. So we have a lot of folks with a lot of different skills and expertise, and we can utilize them to help with state missions, obviously.
Colonel, I had an opportunity to tour part of the 148th a few years ago, and you've got some firefighters out at the airport, but you've also got a bomb disposal unit out there that looked pretty active and well-equipped.
We certainly do. They are as part of our federal mission to train those folks ready for Air Force to be utilized for the Air Force, but they certainly serve a state mission too. When the Adjutant General deems it necessary through help through civilian law enforcement, we can mobilize those folks and get them out to help the community if needed.
We're speaking with Colonel John Sapstrom, the commander of the 148th Fighter Wing of the Minnesota National Guard in Duluth on Minnesota Military Radio. And Colonel, as I recall, that bomb disposal unit told us when we were up there that occasionally they get a call from the relatives of a World War II veteran or somebody that brought home a grenade or some bombs or something, and they get called out to properly dispose of that as well.
We certainly do. That is amazingly, that happens more than you can think. Something from 40 or 50 years ago is found in a barn or a woodshed or something like that. But like I said, those folks work through local law enforcement, and then if it's deemed necessary, they'll work through our Minnesota channels to get a hold of the officials at the National Guard through the Adjutant General. And if it's deemed necessary to assist in local law enforcement, we can certainly send our folks out to help with that.
So another example of the state mission and agencies working together to solve whatever the problem might be.
That is exactly it. We love to be part of the solution.
Colonel, your F-16s, it's my understanding that this is the most current version of the F-16s in the United States military. Is that true?
That is true. The F-16's been around for over 30 years. They stopped producing them in mass in the late 90s, and that we call them blocks. So they're made in different versions, and this version is a Block 50, which is the latest version made in the 90s. And the capabilities that come along with those new versions have definitely increased. So the avionics and the processing capability of the jet and the weapons that we carry are some of the latest and greatest.
And Colonel, one of the stories I found interesting was we read in the papers that on September 11, 2001, that you were helping out the entire country with your F-16s out of Duluth and out of a temporary base?
That is correct. Pretty much every air defense unit at the time we were performing air defense, which was to patrol the skies over the United States, that pretty much every unit that was part of that construct was activated at that time. So we, like many other Air National Guard units around the United States, were activated to start flying patrols over the United States.
And Colonel, I understand that you work on something with, I believe, the active duty Air Force called Active Association?
That is correct.
Can you tell me what that's about, sir?
Sure. Active Association is a way to bring active duty Air Force members into our wing. Our wing is blessed with having, as many other National Guard facilities, we have a lot of experienced people. Our pilots have close to 2,000 hours of experience in the F-16 on average. Our maintainers have about 15 to 17 years of experience maintaining F-16s. So what we do is we bring active duty Air Force members to our wing and help season and train them and get them basically on good footing before they go back to the Air Force.
So, sir, is this another example of meeting some of your active duty counterparts in one Air Force and the Air National Guard and the Air Force Reserve and the active duty Air Force all kind of work together, don't
they? That is exactly correct, Tom. They call it the Total Force Initiative, and it's as time goes on, we're realizing that it's really the only way we're going to survive through these budgetary cycles to try to work together and try to pool our resources and train together.
And Colonel, we just got about a minute left in this segment, but we've had the Army on quite a bit because there's 12,000 Army National Guard members in the state of Minnesota. And when they're called up, they're called up as a unit. And they usually go out for 6 months to a year, a little bit longer deployments. But on the air side, the 133rd or the 148th, I think you have multiple deployments and they're shorter. Is that true?
That is, in general, that's correct, Tom. We are constantly at a level, a trained level, and a readiness level to deploy at any time. That is our federal mission, to be ready to go at any time. So our packages, we call them our deployment packages, are usually smaller. We have a smaller footprint. We can deploy more quickly with less notice. And yes, we do deploy usually for less amount of time.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I've got a few more questions about the 148th Fighter Wing of the Minnesota National Guard in Duluth. We're speaking with Colonel John Safstrom on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with the commander of the 148th Fighter Wing of the Minnesota Air National Guard out of Duluth, Minnesota, Colonel John Safstrom. And Colonel, if we could just backtrack a little bit, I think that we've had some air troops up in Duluth since about 1947, and the mission has migrated from aircraft to aircraft and different missions over the years. And now you've got the most recent version of the F-16 that you just picked up a few years ago, so you should be set for about the next decade, is that right?
Well, that's the hope, Tom. I mean, we have a proud history in Duluth of being in fighters for the last 60 years. So, yeah, we'd love to continue to do that. But this F-16 that we currently have, you are correct, it is the newest of the F-16s, but they're still over 15, 20 years old. But the airframe itself has been well updated, has the latest avionics, and the mission that we do is not done by many other units. Actually, there's only two other Air National Guard units, or two total Air National Guard units in the United States that do the Block 50 suppression of enemy air defense mission.
So, Colonel, is there, and I don't know the answer to this, I probably shouldn't ask it, but if there were some civilian aircraft that were unidentified coming across the border from Canada, would you get a call on something like that?
We certainly could be. We used to be a 24/7 alert site where we were manned aircraft to respond to air defense of the United States. We do not do that anymore with our new mission and the new F-16s. But certainly we could be called upon to ask at any time to identify aircraft. That's part of our mission.
And once again, being part of the Minnesota National Guard as opposed to the active duty Air Force or the Air Force Reserve, you've got a combined federal and state mission.
That is correct. On a day-to-day basis, I work for the governor of Minnesota, as do all the folks in the National Guard. Adjutant General is our leader, and we have trained, though, while we do that for a federal mission if we're called to do it. So especially with F-16s, as you can imagine, that's more of a federal mission if we're called to do it, but our manpower and our people and some of the equipment we have certainly can support the state mission.
So, Colonel, it's my understanding that the 133rd and in Minneapolis and the 148th Fighter Wing up in Duluth have about 1,000 airmen. Is that true?
That's correct. About 1,000 airmen total. About 400 of those folks work on a day-to-day basis, on a full-time basis, to operate the base and to maintain the aircraft. But our folks that are reservists come in and fill every position on the base that the full-time folks do, too.
So you must have some recruiters that work for you for the 148th just to keep up with the people that are retiring.
They certainly do. That is their prime goal. It's to get the folks that want to join our unit and get them assessed and get them into the system and into the training. The training, obviously, to work on F-16s and to fly F-16s and to maintain them can be quite extensive. So we have to get folks and get them through that training on a cycle and get them back so we can start working with them.
So, Colonel, where do you pull your pilots from? Now, I know you came from the Navy and you were an experienced pilot and came in and then had to train on the F-16s or whatever plane was there when you came. Do you get some of those from active duty? Do you get some of those from other services? Do you train your own?
We do. We do all the above, Tom. We are a typical National Guard mission where we take folks that we like to say we grow them from within. So we hire people from within the unit that show the aptitude, that probably have their private pilot's license, are showing the capabilities, and then we can hire them and train them to fly the F-16 through the Air Force channels. We take folks off of active duty, off of different branches of the service. We pretty much pick from across the board, and we like to pick obviously folks from Minnesota if we can that are have the ties to Minnesota, so they understand what it's like to live and work in northern Minnesota. But we certainly, a preponderance of our folks are from northern Minnesota, but we certainly do hire from everywhere.
And you've got full support staff, so you have personnel specialists, mechanics, finance specialists. You've got the whole gamut to, in order to run your organization.
That is correct. As a wing, we have pretty much everything that we need to run and self-sustain. In other words, like you mentioned, those support functions where we pay people. We have a medical group that we take care of people only when they're in military status. We don't obviously take care of them when they're a traditional guardsman. But yeah, we have everything we need to be to take care of all the folks and run the base.
So, Colonel, with 1,000 airmen up there and people retiring and people maybe coming up to the end of their enlistment and deciding to get out and get in the civilian workforce, you must have to replace about somewhere around 10% of those each year, don't you? Hire them in the bottom and work them up through?
We do. You have our statistics pretty well down, Tom. That is about what we have. We like to say we're blessed with really good retention. Once the folks join the unit, they stay because of the training that we do. I think some of the benefits that they have, we have really good retention numbers. So we turn over about 10% of our folks a year, about 100 to 150, give or take, depending on the retirement cycles. Yep, that's correct. So we are constantly assessing new people. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. The wheel keeps turning, so we're always looking for good people.
So you're always looking for good people, and one of the things that the Adjutant General keeps talking about is a diversity, and
right.
You try to match the population, so you're trying to hire as many good young people as you can and get them trained so they can be the leaders 20 years from now.
That is exactly it. That is Adjutant General's initiative, and it's a very good initiative. It makes sense, and we are trying to mirror the community we serve as a National Guard unit. You know, we are the community. Our citizen soldiers are living and working there every day, and we just want to represent those folks that are in the community as best we can.
So, Colonel, you've been in the Navy and in the Air National Guard for a few decades now. And I said, it looks like you've had a pretty good career. What would you tell the young people all over Minnesota listening today if they were thinking about a career and they are in the Air Force National Guard?
Well, I would tell them that they should come and talk to us because it's a tremendous opportunity. I honestly started out because looking for educational opportunities, a way to pay for college. That is a good reason to join the military because it's a great place to start. Obviously, we don't keep everybody forever, and we know that. But we have some very good skills training, very good educational opportunities. Folks can join our unit and get trained in a skill, trained in a trade that they can apply out in the civilian workforce. They can get help with their schooling and frankly, join a great team of great people with like-minded aptitude for serving our country. And it's I can't think of a better thing to do.
And what young person wouldn't like to see an F-16 take off?
Well, that's a good benefit of it. We do work on some pretty cool and fly some pretty cool equipment, but we have really the biggest benefit we have is our people. We have just some fantastic people. It's just a great culture up the 148th, and we'd love to have some more people join.
Colonel, I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio, and I hope the 148th has a great year.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
That was Colonel John Safstrom from the commander of the 148th Fighter Wing, Minnesota Air National Guard from Duluth, Minnesota. Joining me now is the acting director of the Minneapolis Healthcare System, Kurt Thielen. Kurt, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you having me on.
Kurt, we usually visit with Director Kelly, but I understand he's out of the office for a couple months.
He is indeed. Director Kelly went up to the VISN Network headquarters, which is also located here over in Eagan, and he's going to be acting there for a few months while the network director is out in Washington, D.C., and I'm acting for him for a few months.
So he's moved up and actually filling in at the regional office for the VA, is that what it is?
It's VISN 23 or the Midwest network for VHA.
All right. Well, Kurt, I understand you were in the Air Force.
I was indeed. I was a flyer for 20 years in the Air Force. In fact, all of our executive team here at Minneapolis has a fair amount of military background, over 100 years of military time between the five of us on the executive team. For me specifically, I was a weapon system operator, flying originally F-4s and doing what was commonly referred to as the Wild Weasel mission or SAM suppression. And then mostly after that, most of my career I was flying F-15Es, over a couple thousand hours doing that. And that mission was focused on air supremacy and air-to-ground interdiction. I spent most of my time overseas, Philippines, Alaska, England, and then did some combat time in Operation Allied Force, which you may remember back in 1999 over in the Baltic Sea area there, or Baltic region, I should say.
And, sir, after you retired, how did you arrive at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
Well, I retired in 2007, and both my wife and I are from the local area here, and we wanted to get back and help take care of family and an opportunity to kind of continue the mission of working with veterans. Came up here at the VHA in Minneapolis here, so I took a job as the chief business manager for the hospital here, and have been here ever since.
Kurt, I've been kind of teasing Director Kelly a little bit about wearing his construction hard hat all the time. For the last few years, there's been a lot of improvements going on out at the VA Medical Center.
We are making a lot of improvements here, and we probably will continue to do that for quite a few years to come as we continue to modernize and ensure that everything is set up the best we can to take care of our veterans in the best way that we know how. One of the things that I think has caught everyone's attention here in the last few years is veterans' homelessness. And many of you are familiar that we have a community resource referral center in downtown Minneapolis, which is kind of the hub for that for us. But we also provide some housing opportunities both here on the campus and near the campus of the hospital. And we're going to be adding to that soon here. We have a plan in the works for what we're calling the Veterans East, which is basically an affordable housing with a priority for veterans residency. So we'll plan on building that here in the next year and then, you know, opening up more housing opportunities for our veterans.
Kurt, I understand that you've got some openings and looking for some doctors, nurses, and support staff.
We're always looking for good talent in the healthcare side, and most certainly true. And, you know, there's lots of opportunity here to come and put in time helping the veterans out, whether it be at a administrative level or in a skilled technical area or in the healthcare side.
So if we've got people around Minnesota that want to get active and help our veterans, all they have to do is contact the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and they can probably find some good information.
They can do that, and USA Jobs is a great source for getting the full picture of all VA jobs around the country, particularly here as well.
Kurt, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to talking to you again while Director Kelly's out.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate the time.
That was Acting Director Kurt Thielen from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one announcement today. Are you interested in serving those who served? The Minneapolis Veterans Home is looking for certified nursing assistants, health service technicians, and licensed practical nurses. Both full and part-time opportunities are available. Career fairs will be held at the Minneapolis campus on February 17th, 18th, and 20th. More details are available at minnesotaveteran.org. Interested applicants are encouraged to attend a career fair, tour the new facility, discover the benefits of state employment, and apply and interview for open positions. For more information on the career fair or to apply online, visit minnesotaveteran.org. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Scott St. Salver, Colonel John Safstrom, Kurt Thielen for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shelato, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we visit with some Vietnam veterans and discuss the 1973 peace accords and the release of our Vietnam prisoners of war. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.